Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time to get into some company results now, specifically when it comes to the owners of the brands Albany, All Gold and Tastic. Well, Tiger Brands has published its results today and seen a nice 4% rise in its annual profit, including an increase in its revenue. Overall, the business showing strong levels of resilience, given that it has also paid out a dividend to shareholders. To talk us through some of the highlights within the earnings and a strategic direction that the business continues to take, we join on the line by the CFO of Tiger Brands, Thurshan Govender. Such a pleasure to have you, sir, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, and thank you for having me on the show, Google.
Thank you so much, Thurshan. I guess first things first, as we do take a look at some of the key metrics, your headline earnings per share, revenue, and the growth rate that we see, tough environment, but you've really shown a level of heightened resilience in terms of the improvement in your numbers.
Absolutely. We were quite pleased with the full year result, in particular how we clawed back our position in the second half. I think, Gugu, the market was well aware that we went through some leadership changes in the first half of the fiscal year. We changed the operating model, putting new management teams in place. So with that distraction in the first half of the year, we did see some regression. However, with those new teams in place, with the empowered teams that was able to make decisions quicker, closer to the ground, in the second half, we saw a very nice recovery that we are quite pleased with.
Mm-hmm. You're the numbers guy, and there's certainly been a great outcome in terms of the management of your debt. Help us understand how that's been structured and a level of sustainability to take this forward.
So, Gugu, the focus has really been on managing our working capital. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's driving different conversations with our creditors to ensure that we get the best credit terms, to ensure that when we procure in stock from international markets, the length of time that we hold the stock on our balance sheet is as close as possible to the credit terms we receive from our creditors. We've also invested in technology, which allows us to have better forecasting capability and therefore hold the right level of stock at the right time. And we invested in further technology to help us manage our debtors book better. Here again, historically, there was quite a bit of manual intervention. With the new technology, we're able to use a cloud-based solution, resolve the queries from our customers much quicker. And as a consequence of that focus on working capital, the cash generation improved significantly. Mm-hmm. We were extremely pleased with the result. And I think the analyst that was on your show spoke about us moving from a net debt position in mm-hmm. the prior year to a net cash position. And obviously, in this tough trading environment, it's quite good to have a strong balance sheet.
Definitely. Let's talk about some of the divisions in your business. And the grains division certainly caught my attention. This is maize, King Food, Jungle Oats, and the likes of the rice and the pastas that you also produce. I'm keen just to get an understanding of what we have seen in terms of the international influences here. Inflation, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine continues here. And just yesterday, we saw a metric out regarding the GDP in South Africa, where our agricultural sector pulled back significantly and led to the regression in growth that we witnessed. How does this play an influence, I guess, in your numbers? And what are the market dynamics that speak to monitoring the outcomes of the agricultural sector and what it means for your grains business specifically?
It's certainly a challenging environment to operate in. You've called out some of the international dynamics around, you know, the war in Ukraine. I'm not sure if many people realize, but quite a bit of wheat comes out of Russia mm-hmm. and Ukraine, and they supply the global markets. So obviously that impacted global pricing when that, as a consequence of that challenge. The other issues we've had to deal with is in maize. The maize prices is at an all-time high, and that's a direct consequence of the El Nino that we experienced earlier this year. We had a very poor crop. There's droughts in our neighboring markets, and we supply our neighboring markets as well. So the prices ran quite a bit. We were certainly in a very high inflation environment for soft commodities. If I consider the sorghum business, which is under the brand King Foods as well, you know, typically we procured all of our sorghum locally. However, in this particular year, because of the weather patterns and the unpredictability of the yields, we've had to procure this from international markets, mm-hmm. which added further complexity as well as inflation to the price. So agri-inflation on soft commodities was at an all-time high. We are starting to see some relief as a consequence of the higher pricing. The global markets have planted more. We're hoping to move out of this El Nino into a La Nina weather pattern, which is better for some of the soft commodities. So the forward view is looking much better on soft commodities. Mm-hmm. However, if you look at the other side of the tiger business, which is the culinary business, mm-hmm. that's dependent on peanuts for black cat peanut butter, dependent on small white beans for baked beans, that still remains a challenge in South Africa. The plantings have reduced over the years. The weather patterns have made yields unpredictable, and inflation there remains high. And as a consequence, we've had to, look for opportunities to reduce the costs of the entire product in order to make that more affordable for our consumer.
Yeah.
And beyond that, we also look into procure from other markets to reduce that single geographical risk exposure on our supply.
Got you. Maybe let's just lean into cost just a little bit further, as we know that this has become a challenge for many of us as consumers when it comes to choosing the brands and the food items that we'd like to have in our pantries. How are you positioning that, I guess, moving into the next financial year in terms of inflation and costs? Will we see potential increases? And what's the competitive environment like regarding private label items?
So affordability with this current socioeconomic backdrop is a critical focus area for us, Google. We need to ensure our products are as affordable as possible so that our consumers can see value and actually purchase our product and our brand. And there's a few things we're doing about it. We speak about this concept called value engineering, mm-hmm. where we're revisiting our packaging, trying to lightweight it or bring down the cost in some shape or form. We're also looking at our recipes. Is an opportunity to tweak the recipe to make it more affordable for our consumers, but always have that guardrail to ensure that we do not impact the quality of the product,
yes.
as well as the intrinsics and the taste profile of the product. The other thing we're looking at is the conversion costs within our facilities. We're trying to mechanize and automate as much as possible, and that will allow us ultimately to take all of those things into account, place on shelf a much more affordable product. The competitor set, including private label, are operating in the similar environment to us. As you know, mm-hmm. the socioeconomic conditions aren't supportive of significant growth at this stage. All indicators are that this is going to turn. However, we have high levels of unemployment and consumers continue to seek out value. So we need to be competitive from a cost perspective. And we're also innovating with our products and creating tier two brands. At one stage, we're the only peanut butter product there, for example, under Black Cat,
yes.
that offers a 90% plus peanut inclusion in our product. The rest of our competitors are below 50%.
Ooh.
So we're looking at an opportunity to introduce a tier two Black Cat product, mm-hmm. where we can offer an affordable product set, as well as the premium if you want in the 90% plus peanut inclusion.
I see.
And Google, if you look across our range, we have not compromised the quality of our product and downgraded the recipes such that it impacts these heritage brands. We've been very careful to keep our premium products as affordable as possible without impacting their product quality, but at the same time, offer tier two affordable solutions so that we can cater to all consumers and remain relevant.
Mm-hmm. I think this is really important because it really does speak to an innovative approach that you're taking. But Thashin, I can't let you go without touching on the listeriosis case. Whilst we're well aware in the results, you've mentioned that this process is still being reviewed. And of course, some concerns around the payment of have to be quantified. But a twofold question here. Number one, if you can give us just an understanding of the kind of impact that this will have on your financials and what levels of preparedness you've implemented. But number two, the lessons that you've learned from the listeriosis case? Because just earlier this year, we had a few private label peanut butters see a recall. And Black Cat Peanut Butter was one of the brands that had no such concerns regarding aflatoxin. So that's refreshing to actually see that there hasn't been any kind of repeat or any concern around toxins within our food. So lessons, number one. And number two, the preparedness financially on the impact of the listeriosis outbreak case.
So, Gugu, I think the first question is a very pertinent question throughout South Africa. Food safety is of critical importance. And, you know, we've seen the recent interventions by government to register the small local stores. And at the forefront is the food safety concern. And we as a food company take that very seriously. We've intensified our efforts around food safety. In fact, this year we've implemented a state-of-the-art software that would allow us to monitor food safety across our facilities. It also gives us the ability to understand trends in our business so we can be a lot more proactive. And going beyond that, it helps us manage our suppliers. Because you, remember, you're also exposed to the raw materials and packaging that you bring into your facility. And it, therefore, it's important to monitor your suppliers and impose similar high standards on them. So the lessons learned was really to take this a lot more seriously. We've become a lot more scientific around our sampling to ensure that our consumer doesn't end up with a product that's contaminated. You would have appreciated there were quite a few recalls in the chocolate industry as well some time back globally. We weren't one of those, luckily. And as soon as we've heard about this global challenge and issue, we implemented controls to test our products with external labs. So the food safety challenge is something that we continue to apply ourselves to and continue to improve. The journey has never comes to an end. The issues out there, whether it's aflatoxins or listeriosis, they continue to evolve given the changing environment, and we need to evolve with that and ensure we're at the cutting edge of all the appropriate standards.
Yep.
Your second question. I think you would have seen the comments in our sense that we are proactively working with all the relevant parties to bring the matter to a close. We have to work with our insurers and their attorneys, because obviously we insured for this, and they ultimately pick up the cost for any particular settlement that's reached. Mm-hmm. So it's a very collaborative approach, working with the plaintiff's attorney. A few months ago or a few weeks ago, you'd have seen, we also engaged with the plaintiff's attorney to try and fast-track payments to some of the urgent need cases.
Sure.
So we've been a lot more proactive from that perspective. And at the end of the day, we believe our product liability insurance cover is appropriate. So I don't foresee any impact to our balance sheet or results.
Got you. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Mr. Govender. Really appreciate your time. I understand that many of my other colleagues would like to speak to you this evening, but we're grateful for your time tonight, sir.
Thank you for having me on your show, Gugu, and take care and all the best.
Thank you. Likewise. That's Thashan Govender, the CFO of Tiger Brands.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.